Okay, the first thing I want to tell you about this parasha Vayikra. It's not a vart. It's an observation. It's a conversation you have with someone. You may strongly disagree. You may find it very disturbing, and I apologize. And I don't even know if I should say it, but I don't have much else to say. I don't have much else to say, so I'm going to say it. This week, a very significant event happened in this world. It was a new pope. I mean, if you're a religious person, how can you not take note of a new religious leader for a world? The world has only about 4.5 billion people, only, and about 7 billion. 7 billion times have changed. When I was a child, they taught us the world has a billion. All right, whatever it is. Okay, 1.6 or 7 billion people are Catholics. They recognize, and even those that do not recognize him as, they take note. They watch. They take note, and there's a trickle down effect of his conduct, his outlook on life, and he's the conscience, the religious conscience of the world, even the irreligious world. Deep down, okay, I don't have to tell you this. This is a little Devarim Pshutim. The Jewish magazines, it's very interesting, a couple of weeks since the previous pope retired, the Jewish magazines, some of them, are much more open in taking note and reporting and pictures and dealing with it and discussing this in the open. Ami magazine is really a Hasidic magazine. It's a Sat magazine by Frankfurter. If I'm not mistaken, he's a Sat Mechassid. And they have a very open approach. They have a fantastic article about the last two popes, Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict. And there's a lot of history, a lot of very interesting things in their approach. And we all know that the blood of the Jewish people is on their hands. There's no need to go easy on the church. They represent Esav. Halacha b'yodeinu Esav sone Yaakov. If it's good for us, it's only Ella b'osa shon nichmeru rachamov. And iMagazine, they write that we have no hasaga what a chesed Hashem did with us, that the last two popes were really overall very, very good to the Jews. And they go through all the criticism, they read in the media that he reinstated a Holocaust denier. The imamish, they make nothing out of it. They laugh at it. They say in the big picture of things, you have no hasaga of how friendly and good. We don't realize that if the Pope is an anti-Semite and publicly just twitches his nose the wrong way, there's a trickle-down effect, and it's very easy to wake up a sleeping lion. Halacha b'yedeinu Esav sone Yaakov. Okay, it's very interesting. There's a lot to be discussed and to be studied and to be understood. It's not for now. I go to a shir. And I go to a shir on Sunday to Rabbi Avraham Shua. So he speaks. This is after Hurricane Sandy, and he said that a balabas came into him and said to him, this is already after the hurricane was over, and after there was churban shein kamoho. And he said that a balabas came to him who's part of the Sfardish community and told him that erev Sandy, the day before the Sandy hit. By the Svardim in his community, they were sitting and saying Tehillim the whole day. They were saying Tehillim the whole day. They were saying Tehillim in Shul, being the Spalal, because they recognized this Sakana. There's a very great Sakana coming, and Akol Biyat Hashem, and we need Siyat HaDishmaya to get through. Why isn't it that in this community, in Flatbush, people, when Rahman al-Islam, after the fact, when someone is sick, okay, it's after the fact that they've been spalled. The best tefillah Chazal tell us is preventive medicine. It's refuah kodem lemakom. Why weren't we saying Tehillim erev Sandy? When there's a report that there's a hurricane, all the schools are closed, public transportation is closed down, the city is preparing famish for the churban of the world, why isn't there, he's not going to go for this, why isn't the community focusing on being mispalo to protect us in a very public way from And he made this, and he said, they're 100% right, and we made this mistake. So I was wondering, I didn't ask him, I didn't have a chutzpah to ask him, but I was wondering that since the Pope retired, why weren't we every day being mispalel? Who will be the next Pope? Do we have a hasag? If you look back in history, the tsaris, the churban, what has happened, how much blood has been spilled because of the decisions, because of the influence of the church, could be massive. And we just take for granted, we're living here, we just take everything for granted. For the last 50 years, there were two popes that were very easygoing. And now, who knows? And if you go read, if you go online, I'm sure you've all gone on, you all look at the candidates, all the candidates. There are some of them that are real anti-Semites. It's not as, some of them come from parts of the world that are not civilized. They have a whole different way of dealing with people. And they're a real danger. It's a serious thing. And to me, I was just wondering, why weren't... So the answer is because Jews, Orthodox Jews, we don't... You know, the Avi Avoy Satuma... We don't really know how to deal with it. That's really the truth. It's something which is very hard. There are some Jewish magazines that completely ignored it. You're not even going to look at the Pope. It's Avi Avoy Satuma, stay far away. Other Jewish organizations, they took it hands-on. I don't know, so Russia, it's Avodah Zarah, there's a whole question. Lo Sechonim, it's there are a lot of interesting, a lot of different halachic shilas about looking, about watching, about studying. But it's something very serious. It's a very serious situation that's affecting the world. Quiet, whatever will be, will be. Okay, fine. They elected a new pope. It's also to say something good about a guy. Is a pasuk in the Lo Sechonim. I'm not coming to give compliments. I'm not coming to give shevach. I don't even know. I know from nothing. I just read an article here, an article there, a few little things. I know, we don't know. But the Oilam, the Goyim, are saying that this, his conduct so far, he has acted with extreme humility. Anova. Humility. Humility. And they've given him so far, this would, I'm not coming again, Lo Sechonim. I'm just repeating what it says in the Goyish newspapers, that his Hanhaga was incredible. Humility. Anova. The first thing he did was he prayed for his predecessor, the Minig of Derech Eretz, Davar Pashut. I was shocked, horrified. I watched the inauguration of Obama. And I was literally horrified how he behaved. How the President of the United States, he didn't give... No, you would expect, you're the President now, so the least you can do is to thank the previous administration, nechnimus, to give kavod to the previous President, the election is over, to give him a little shevach, a little praise, a little thank you. No, instead he says some nasty things. That's not... So what? So now you're in charge, you can do whatever you want. It's derech hanimus. This... individual, when he came to office, the Goyim have praised him that he acted in a very dignified, humble way. The key word for the week is humility. Read the newspapers, that word will appear over and over, humility. Again, Lois Sechonim, I'm telling you, it was very disturbing to me. I'm just repeating a conversation that I had with one of my friends last night in yeshiva. I was preparing for today, to prepare for the Chumash, and the first vart, every single sefer I open up for Parashas Vayikra, the first vart is Vayikra, Aleph Zeira, a small Aleph. A small Aleph. Moshe Rabbeinu was humble. Moshe, the word Vayikra, Lashon Chiba, endearment. Moshe, Bilam, by Bilam, who was the Navi of the Umos Olam, you can't just ignore a religious leader in the world. The religious leader, the Pope of the world, of the secular world at that time, of the world at the time of the Torah, was Bilam. He was from the Navi. Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu for Klal Yisrael, and he gave a Bilam to the Umos Olam. You can't just ignore, oh, there are no other religious leaders. There's something called in the world, there are religious leaders, whatever they represent. And by Bilam, it says, Vayikar. Hashem just by accident, it was a mikra, happened to bump into him to give him over a message by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rabban Shel Yisrael Vayikra Lashon Chiba. Moshe didn't want to take the credit for himself. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the holy Moshe Rabbeinu, acted with humility and he wrote an Aleph Zeira, a small Aleph. What bothered me, this, I'm repeating you a conversation. There are many examples, which unfortunately I can't cite many because I didn't prepare, I didn't do research, where Gedolei Hadar throughout the generations have told us, that this is more of a Hasidish idea, Hashem sends down to the world koichos. He sends down, what's a good word? He sends down shefa, bracha. He sends down things to this world throughout history. Hashem, the Industrial Revolution, Hashem sent down to the world koichos of chokhmah, of understanding how to do things. There are times when Hashem sends down to the world ashirus. There are times when Hashem sends down to the world nidos, how of different things. One example they give is, this is a little bit of a strange example, is they always complain, I'm not coming to complain, Chas Shom, I don't know if this is a rochuk for me, Mimizhul Marif, the idea of tznius. And they say, why is it that in the Muslims, they have tznius? Burqas, they go to the shagas, these extreme things. We know it's all a fake. We know it's all external and it's all fake. We know it's sheker v'chazav. Let's make it very clear. It's all sheker v'chazav. 100%. But the bottom line is, at least externally, they pride themselves, look, we're tzanua. In the supermarket in Saudi Arabia, they have a mechitza. They would do this in Bar Park today, oh, the world will come to an end. But in Saudi Arabia, when you go to ShopRite, there's a mechitza, men on the right, and they're so proud. And the world has respect. They have tzniyos. So the Gedolei Hadar say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends down a koyach of tzniyos to this world for Klal Yisrael, and he wants us, now he doesn't want us to behave, I don't think, to wear burqas. That's not what Hashem wants. Hashem wants to have an internal, a hidden degree of tznius, a need of tznius. Hashem is begging us, I'm sending down to this world a shefa of tznius. What's the pasuk? Hatznei leches im elokecha. What tznius is? Hatznei leches im elokecha. I'm not talking about burqas. I'm talking about the real internal pnimiyistik tznius. Hashem's klal is, I'm sending you the koich of tznius. It's a tkufa, it's a dar. You need this. Take it. And Klal Yisrael says, we're not interested. If we're not interested, someone else will take it. And they'll take it, they'll corrupt it, they'll ruin it, they'll use it the wrong way. The Arabs took the tznius. They corrupted it. This is not tznius, this is znus. It's not, but they've taken it. It belongs to us. The whole world was created for Klal Yisrael. Was created for Klal Yisrael. Every shefa, every blessing, everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu sends down is for us. And if we don't take advantage, someone else will take advantage. During the Industrial Revolution, when the tremendous ribui in Chochmah, the Gedolei Hadar tell us that Hashem sent down a koichos of Chochmah for Torah, we didn't want to take it. So you know what you have? You have an iPod. You have a computer. You have a man on the moon. The man on the moon is because we did not become Klal Yisrael, did not take those koichos of Chochmah and develop and become Gedolei Hadar with Ruach HaKodesh, the Koyach HaTorah. When you see the man on the moon, they stole it from us. There should not have been a man on the moon, and we should have taken those koichos of Chochmah, what it took to get a man on the moon, and become the most outstanding, brilliant Talmidei Chachamim. They should say, Micha Mocha, who's like Klal Yisrael. This is an idea that is common. It's a more of a Hasidish approach, and it's a way to look at the world. So I'm repeating to you, I'm not coming to say anything, I'm just repeating to you a conversation. This event of the selection of the new pope, to whom the world, we're not talking because we don't know what another is, and it's not for us to give shavach lo sichonin. The world says that this is a humble person. He has acted with humility. He has conducted himself the way it should be for a spiritual leader. When did it happen? Happened Yom Revi Parshas Vayikra. Yom Revi, we say already in the Ayoim, L'chum Niranon Al Hashem Neriel Litzur Yeshenu. Parshas Vayikra, the beginning of Parshas Vayikra is humility. So the conversation was, it's very disturbing. It's a week where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending down to the world a shefa of anova. Hashem wants Klal Yisrael, He wants us to focus on anova and to wake up and become humble people. We're living in a door of chutzpah yaske. Chutzpah comes from gaiva. Entitlement. Hashem wants us, Klal Yisrael. And who's chapping the anova? Who's chapping the anova? The umos ha'olam. It's a wake-up call. What has happened this week for us, a pope, a new pope, against the backdrop of Parshas Vayikra, and the media, 1.7 billion people, but it's really the whole world. And they're focusing, the word of the week, the word of the week, in every newspaper, every editorial, is humility. It's a wake-up call for us. It's Parshas Vayikra. It's the Aleph Ze'ira. Hashem is sending down to this world koichos, a koich of anova, Klal Yisrael, take it! Because if you don't take it, someone else will take it. And when they'll take it, they'll be corrupt. It seems like anova. But who knows? Who knows what kind of anova, what kind of false anova can lead to? Klal Yisrael, take the anova for yourself. Don't let someone take. This is perhaps a little bit of just an observation from a conversation we had last night. Okay, let's go to another idea.
My son showed me a video last night that when he's there, he has to remember the relationship
with the Jews. We're very lucky, that's right.
The Jewish community center.
And when they also destroyed the...
But at the time when it happened, when they blew up the building...
He did?
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so far so good. We're very fortunate. We don't even begin to imagine how fortunate we are. We've been for the last 20 years. This Pope Benedict, he wrote public for the first time. They wrote this in Nine Magazine. That he said the Jews have, he studied everything that there is in the Christian theology. The Jews have no guilt, no responsibility for the death of Yashka. And this was written, this was the first time that a Pope actually put this in writing as part of the teaching of the Church. Can we imagine such a book? In the history of the Church, the first time. You have to study the details. My fact checkers will get back to me. We'll check the facts. But yeah, you read the article. It's just very interesting.
He said a lot of things that the Goyim celebrate in terms of their holidays. It can't be true. He said it.
Yeah. So it's not a Pashtuna thing. Like I told you, why weren't we being mispala? Why? Why? How come this last week and a half? Maybe, but publicly there's no such thing. Okay, the answer why we're not is because we don't know how to deal with it. We really don't. We don't know. There's a lot of ignorance. We don't understand the religion. We don't want to, and it's not in our best interest. And we have more. We have other things that we should spend our energy, our focus on. So we just take a risk. We just let's just put it aside. Okay, but there's definitely a thinking person. You just can't look to the side. There's yeah, if you study history and you, yeah?
Well, I didn't hear any leader or any Rosh Yeshiva, any Rav and Shul getting up on Shabbos and saying, no, we have to pray. Did Rav Shul get up here?
No! So, that's what I'm saying. I didn't have the chutzpah to ask him. So obviously I'm wrong. Okay? I think the reason is because, for example, I watched on one of the blogs, the Jewish blogs, they wrote a whole report. So they have these moronic comments. Half of the comments were, what in the world is this story doing on an Orthodox blog? This is the Pope. We don't want to know from it. This is secular news. It's news. It's the secular world. It's not for us. And the other half comments were, Adaraba, this is something that is very important for us to focus on. There's a very big divide on how do we relate to such an event in the world. It's very difficult. It's very because first of all, there's an enormous amount of ignorance. We really don't know, and we don't want to know. We shouldn't know. It's not for us to know. It's the people who are trained and skilled and already have acquired an enormous amount of Torah knowledge and are mature. It's for them to know and to discuss. It's not necessarily for every little child the Yeshiva Ketana to be told and taught about and shown. It's not necessarily the best thing. But even for adults, it's a very big debate on how do you deal with this issue. So. And the safe approach is, okay, pay attention. Yeah, I think so. I think that's the consensus of a lot of the rabbanim. I don't know. It's not for me. I'm not a rabbi. It's not. But it's just an observation. Okay, this is an observation. I'm just here to provide you. I'm not a rabbi. I have a rabbi here in the shul. A shulman. It's very interesting. You speak with him. You ask his take on this. This is for the rabbanim. It's just my personal observation. The chumash shiur with the aleph zero parashas vayik. Okay, let's go to an idea. Okay, in this week's parsha, now I want to give you a half-baked idea. This is really, really half-baked. And you're going to have to... do we have a Gemara Ervin? Is there a Gemara Ervin that you told me over here? Oh, you know, okay, this week, Daf Yomi, you learned about the Mizbeach. I'm warning you, this is a half-baked Vard, and you have to develop this. Moshe Rabbeinu is called the Anav Mikol Adam. Anav Mikol Adam. Good for Erev Pesach. Anav Mikol Adam. We learn that from the Aleph Zeira of Parshas Vayikra. Vayikra El Moshe Aleph Zeira. Anav Moshe was Anav. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu, we learned in Parsh Bekudei, Ki Koran Or Panav. His face radiated, shone, radiated, and he had to put on a mask. So Chazal asked, what? He had the karneho, the horns. Very interesting expression. They picture, yeah, they go out of town, they ask you, you're a Jew, where are your horns? They really believe.
Really, the word for horn,
yeah.
The word for ray are the same.
Same, right.
Okay, ki koran or ponaf. Okay. The Moshe Rabbeinu radiated, and the radiation is defined in Chazal with the term the karnei hod, the rays of splendor, beauty. Chazal asks, where did Moshe Rabbeinu get this? Where did he get this radioactive material to radiate? Where did it come from? Chazal answers, it came from this aleph, this little aleph, because Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu an exact. Measure of ink. Everything was extremely precise. Can you imagine such precision down to the last drop of ink? And Moshe Rabbeinu, he wrote, instead of writing Vayikra with a large aleph, he wrote a little aleph so that it should really appear Vayikar. Hashem just met him by accident. It wasn't anything special. So the aleph is diminished. It's extra ink. He took that extra ink, he smeared it on his head, and that ink was radioactive. He radiated. Interesting. So the karnei hod came from the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now here's my half favor. This week's Daf Yomi, we learned about the size of the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach has three parts. The lowest part is called the Yesod, is the foundation. The foundation was 32 Amos by 32 Amos. The second part of the Mizbeach is the center, which culminates with what's called the Soivev. The Soivev was now, the bottom was one Amma, and the center part was five Ammas, that's five plus one is six. On, there was a ramp, a minor ramp, leading, besides the main ramp which went to the top, there was a little ramp which went to the side. And when you were required to pour blood on top of the Mizbeach, on the upper portion of the Mizbeach, so you would go up the small ramp, and you would walk around the Soviv, and you would go around counterclockwise, and you would apply the blood to the corners of the wall of the Mizbeach when standing on the Soviv. And then there's the third part of the Mizbeach called the Kronos, the corners of the Mizbeach. Each of these parts were the critical parts of the Mizbeach. You pour blood, the leftover blood is applied to the Yesod, and the upper part of the Mizbeach, those three Amos, that's that when the Kohen stands on the Soivev, where he applies the blood to the upper part of the Mizbeach, and there are the Kronos, which also blood is applied to the Kronos. Kohen would then walk to the very top of the Mizbeach and apply blood in those required korbanos to the corners of the Mizbeach. Now, this week's Daf Yomi, we learned that there are different types of amos. There is an amma that's 6 tvachim, and there is an amma that's 5 tvachim. There really is more. There's an amma that's 5 plus. There's an amma that's sechakoyts, amma that's atsevos. They're all different types of amos. But the Gemara concludes, according to all opinions, that when it comes to the Mizbeach, part of the Mizbeach is measured with an amma that has 5 tvachim, and part of the Mizbeach is measured with an amma that has 6 tvachim. And the Gemara's maskana is that when it comes to the soy, the foundation of the Mizbeach, the horizontal portion of the yisod, the foundation stuck out of the bottom of the Mizbeach both horizontally and vertically. The horizontal expanse was an amma of 6 tvachim. The vertical was an amma of 5. Then when it comes to the sovev, then when you go up, after you finish going up for the sovev, you go up with 6. The height is measured in 6. But when you come to the sov, the part that you stand on, the horizontal surface is an amma of 5. And the corners, both vertical and horizontal, are 5. So basically, there are 3 parts of the Mizbeach. Every part of the Mizbeach is measured with an amma of 6. But there are 3 parts of the Mizbeach that are measured with an amma of 5. The vertical height of the foundation, the horizontal surface of the sovev, and both the horizontal and the vertical areas of the corners. So let's review. When it comes to the foundation, it's only the height as 5. When it comes to the sovev, it's only the surface, the horizontal plane is 5. The corners, the very, very top, both height and vertical and the vertical and the horizontal surface is 5.
So the higher you go.
So what do I want? I want to suggest a drush, which you're going to have to be mashlim, is that the height, the corner, is really the combination. By the Pasuk in Yecheskel giving us these, this is all the Pasuk in Yecheskel. The Gemara dashes very carefully, this is the Pasuk in Yecheskel. By the Pasuk telling us that the corner, its dimensions are 5 and 5, and after telling us that the horizontal height of this Yesod is 5, and the vertical height of the Yesod is 5, and the horizontal portion of the Sov is 5, is really teaching us that the corner of the Mizbeach is the combination. It's the symbolic combination of the Yesod, the foundation, and the Sovev. Now, what's the deeper meaning of this? The number 5 in the context of the Mizbeach represents humility. Because all of the amos of the Mizbeach, by the way, what is an amma? An amma is your fist. Amma is, what's an amma? Is your power, your might. Amma, what's the height of an amma? Amma is the middle finger until your elbow. That's the zroya. That's your koyach. Yigdal no koyach Hashem. That's the amma. This is an amma of 6. This is an amma of 5. You know what the amma of 5 is? Don't go hard. Go easy. It represents a degree of weakness, of the ability to restrain yourself. Don't exercise your full power. If the amma represents the concept of your zeroya, which zeroya always represents the concept of might, and there's a might of 6, and there's a power of 5, turn down the volume. It represents a degree of humility. I'm not going to demand exercise my full koyach. The Mizbeach represents man. Mizbach Adama Tasali corresponds to the pasuk of Hashem Yivra Elokim Es Adam Afar Min Ho Adama. Chazal connected to Psukim and tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from the same place where the Mizbeach would be positioned. Because man is in need of atonement, And halavai, if man is created from the same earth which the mizbech is fashioned, halavai, that mizbech which serves as atonement, will atone for men if it's all part of the same DNA. So there's a connection between the mizbeach and man. The mizbech has three parts, three main features. The yisod, the foundation, the sovev, and the chronos. What are the chronos? Radiation. The karnehot, your horns. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu has chronos. Moshe has chronos. The karnehot. What are the chronos? The chronos is the way he appears to other people. How he radiates, how he presents himself, how he is received by his followers. Moshe Rabbeinu was so holy, he radiated, they couldn't look, they had to put on a masseh, he radiated, he was so holy, they couldn't relate to him in a good way, not in a bad way, because of his extreme holiness. That's the keren. Every single person has chronos. Every person radiates, appears to other people, relates to them with their unique karnehot. Every person has a yisod. You come from somewhere. You come. Everyone has roots. Where do you come from? You come from Lower East Side? You come from East Slapish? You come from Crown Heights? Where do you come from? You have a family. You come from grandparents. You come from good stock. And every person has a sovev. Sovev, sovev halecha ruach, which means you live your life. You have a parnasa, you have a profession, you have skills. You have a life. Sovev means like the world. Sovev, sovev halecha ruach, v'yalas seviv oisav shav haruach. Life, you live your life, you conduct yourself. So let's put all the pieces together. Man, a lot of pieces coming to putting together. Man, Chazal tell us there's a direct relationship between man and the mizbech. Adam, he said, the mizbech has three parts. It has a yisoid, a soiv, and a chronos. These are the three essential characteristics of the mizbech. A human being has also, that means that a human being also has three essential characteristics. He has his yisoid, where he comes, his foundation, where he comes from. He is a soivev, he lives his life, he conducts himself. And there's something called the karen, there are chronos, which means your interaction. Besides the fact that you come from somewhere and you live your life, how do you interact with society, with your relatives, with your friends, with your family, the interaction, the karnehot? The karnehot of Moshe Rabbeinu radiated. Why? Because of his humility. Chazal explicitly state that, because of his humility. Because he left over ink from the letter Aleph. It should have been a big Aleph. He made a little Aleph to show that I'm no real different than Bilam, in the degree of humility. Leftover ink, he put it on and said, oh, humility. Where did what are the dimensions of the Mizbeach? They're humble dimensions. The Amos, Koichi v'Oitzim Yodi. No, only five. Only five. Where did the Karnei get the five from? It took a little bit humility from the Yisoid. It took the vertical humility of the Yisoid. And it took a horizontal humility from the Soivev. The Karnei hold every person is rooted, is a combination. The humility that you will have in life and your interaction with other people in life will be built upon the humility that's put in within you. In your yisoid, the parents give you. Parents have an obligation when they create, when they fashion a human being, to teach them humility, together with your own, your soivev, your experience of when you walk, when you exist in life, that degree of humility. The chronos is the combination, the humility of the chronos, the karnehot, is the combination of the yisoid and the soivev. Okay, this is an idea. I thought it was an interesting idea. All right, I'll leave it. I'm looking at some blank faces, but take it as it is. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have in the sixth parasha the mitzvah of melech. I'll call karboncha takriv melech. There's a mitzvah to offer salt on every single carbon. What is this all about? Okay, what's salt all about? So we know from Chazal that salt serves two functions. It's either something which gives flavor, or it's a preservative. Ancient times, meat. was no refrigeration, so how would you preserve meat for a prolonged period of time? It would put in an enormous amount of salt. Two different functions. We are well aware that a korban, both an animal sacrifice and a mincha, require salt. And what's interesting is the Torah doesn't even mention salt explicitly by a korban. It says the halacha of salt is said primarily by the mincha. It does say salt by a korban, but it says a different expression by a mincha than it says by a korban. Bamelach timloch. By a korban, we have our korban. What does it say by
korban
melech timloch, a double expression. And by a korban it says, al kol korbancha takriv melech. So regular korban, which simply refers to an animal sacrifice, it says melech once. But by a korban mincha, bamelach timloch, double expression. Why? Why by a korban animal sacrifice is it a single expression? By a meal offering is it a double expression? So we have to understand that there are two different types of sacrifices. There's an offering. So offering of a korban, animal, and a mincha. What's the difference? Animal, you take its life. It represents death. Sacrifice. In life, we have to give up. To serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, times there are situations that demand of us to give up money, to give up time, to give up the good things in life, and sometimes to make the ultimate sacrifice to go Kiddush Hashem. Sacrifice. That is really what one is doing, one is reenacting when he brings an animal sacrifice. You bring the animal and you're making a statement, I really deserve to die, I really would like to give to you Hashem my life, but you do not want, but this shall be in its place, and by bringing this sacrifice, let it be as if I've offered my neshama to you. Ramban. Pashat, this is what? It represents death. Mincha represents life. You have to serve Hashem not always by giving up. You have to serve Hashem by living. You have a good meal, if you're fortunate to be blessed, have a nice house, nice clothing, and good food, you make a bracha, and you use it as a springboard to serve Hashem with simcha. You serve Hashem with bread. It's not the bread alone, but it's almost everything. The bread is everything. The bread is yichye ha'adam. That's what a person lives on. When you bring bread, a mincha to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it represents the concept that I want to serve you with what you've given me. You've given me food, shelter, family. Everything in life is going to be devoted to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now let's take a step back. What is salt? Flavor. It adds flavor, and it also serves as a preservative. What's the difference? When you want to flavor the challah, you only add a little salt. Doctor will tell you no salt. Bloomberg, if it was up to him, there wouldn't be salt altogether.
It wouldn't be challah.
It wouldn't be challah. But when you want to preserve something, you have to add an enormous amount of salt. So the Torah is really telling us, when it comes to a korban, when you want to serve Hashem, when a person has to sacrifice for life, you have to give up. Al kol korbancha takriv melach. Add a little salt. The sacrifice that you make for Hashem should not be with bitterness. There should be flavor. Person has to give up his life, has to give up money, time, effort from the good life. Don't do it with bitterness and complaints. There should be flavor. It should be with dignity and with beauty. Add a little salt. Give it some flavor. Dignify, make the best out of a bad situation. But when it comes to serving Hashem with life, a lot of salt. Because this is something you have to preserve. When you're serving Hashem, when you have something that's something good, you want this to endure forever. It's not something that you just want to. Anyway, it's going to be good. It tastes good. The food is good. Everything is good. But the expression, recognizing that I'm living a good life and I'm using everything that Hashem has given me in His service, don't forget that. should not chas v'shalom come to a point vayishman yeshurun vayivot, where you take it for granted and you just have the good life and you don't think about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you have that moment, that crystal moment, where you realize that this, the brach that Hashem has given me, is all to be used to bless a Kadosh Baruch Hu in His service, preserve it. Preserve that forever. Al kol karboncha, chol minchascha b'melech timloch, add a lot of salt. Never let it come to a matzav of a yishman yishun vayivat. But when it's sacrifice, so sacrifice, you have no choice. It's not something which you want to preserve. It's not the ideal thing to sacrifice everything every single day. It's occasionally. But what's the nesayon of sacrifice? Complaint, bitterness. Why do I have to suffer so much? Then a person should be oimid bin nesayon and has to add a little salt to give it a little flavor, to recognize that it's the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and a person has to have a munah pshuta, and there has to be a little degree of flavor in the carbons. That's perhaps a little bit of a jush, why we have this difference of expression of salt between the carbon and the mincha. One is a little salt, one is a lot of salt. A little salt is flavor, a lot of salt is preservative. Carbon is death, mincha is life. Life, the good of life, the service has to be preserved. The bad of the bitterness of sacrifice has to be done with flavor. Now let me give you another idea. There's a Rashi in Masechta Shabbos that describes how salt is made. Daf Samach Vav is a very interesting Rashi. Samach Vav. You draw. Okay, let me find the Rashi.
Sea salt.
So how is salt made? There's another days.
Help is irregular.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. So Rashi explains, let me read the words of Rashi, how is salt made? L'mokoyim srefas hamayim. Salt is made by burning water. Sh'oisim nigarim al-svasiyam, they make nigarim, which means canals, along the edge of the river. L'hamshich mayim l'breichos ruchavos. They create canals along the edge of the seashore, so daf samach vav on the base, and they redirect seawater into pools. Hoasuyos lekach, which are made for this purpose, uchishenismalu, after the pits are filled with seawater, soisim hacharitzim, they close the channels, the irrigation canals. The hashemesh, the sun, is soireif es hamayim, it burns, it causes the water to evaporate. Shemeluchim, which are salty, vehein, shemeluchim, hein, venase, melach. And we have salt. Salt is one of the few things in this world that does not rot, does not decay. Salt can last forever, seemingly. I guess if it's preserved the correct way, there's no such thing as decay when it comes from salt. So I want to suggest, a chiddush, salt represents the concept of nitzchias. It's nitzchias, eternity. We have tchias hamesim. The concept of tchias hamesim also represents the idea of nitzchias. Person that lives his life, person can think that achameh ve'eshrim, his body decays, the elements, the teva is soyref, the body. And the neshama leaves, and it's all over. Chas v'shalom, that's apikorsis. The neshama is nitzchi. The neshama, after the body, has its experience in this world and decomposes. It always will remain the essence of the neshama, which is the neshama. The neshama, to a certain degree, is the salt content of the mayim. Just like mayim is only for the time, and over a period of time, the mayim evaporates, but there's something left. The essence of the mayim, the salt content of the seawater, is nitzchi. That remains forever. When a person brings a karbon, let's deal with animal sacrifices for the moment. It's a dangerous experience. You are giving up your life. You're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that really, if I could, I would give up my life. It represents death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, after you go through this experience, you should recognize there is no such thing as death. Al kol karboncha takriv melach. Although you've gone through an experience of death, you have to realize there's nitzchias. The neshama remains. And the neshama remains will one day return at the time of Tchias HaMeisim. We find this idea in a few places. I don't have them in front of me, but in the Sefer Melachim Elisha, when he came to a city, and the city had bitter, the water was bitter. So how did Elisha sweeten the water? Salt. Salt. So the Farshim tells us, similarly, it's a nes besoch nes. Salt is bitter, and the water is bitter, and you add two bitter things together, a nes besoch nes, the water became sweet. But it's much deeper than that. What Elisha was doing was, he was bringing about Tchias HaMeisim. Bitter water, the water, it means the place is dead. There's no life. There's no. It's not sustainable. Salt, it represents the concept, there's no such thing as death. Although something may decompose and evaporate and disappear, the human being, eventually, even the bones, don't last forever. They also disintegrate. Everything has a time. But salt never goes anywhere. There's always a davar nitzchi. Person should never look at a situation in life and say, look, the place is bitter, the water is bitter, there's no hope here, it's not possible to live here. Look at salt. Salt represents, even in death, there is nitzchias. And it is the ingredient which can resurrect, to bring back life. And that's what we're doing by a carbon. That's what Elisha is doing by putting. So there are other examples in Tanakh. I don't know in front of me, the other examples in Tanakh where salt was used to bring back, to bring a degree of Tchias HaMeisim. Carbon is death. It's what it represents, giving up your life. We have to recognize that after death comes life, there's Nitzchias, and the Neshama will return, and we should not forget that. Okay, let me just conclude. Yeah?
Can we apply that, what we discussed yesterday, the egg? Salt water.
Okay.
Is the carbon or dead?
Okay.
Salt water is
nitzchi, is coming back to life. Tchias HaMeisim. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Has to be studied more. That this idea of salt represents the concept of Tchias HaMeisim. The day will come when it will return. It will be restored.
How do you apply that to carpus?
So the carpus, dipping the carpus in salt water. So I leave it to you. I told you, I only give you half-baked words. You do this for homework. You become a darshan over Shabbos. You'll figure out over Shabbos. Okay, let me conclude with a little cute var. This is not a real var. Just something to conclude with on Shabbos. We have this parasha, the mincha, the kmitza. The kmitza, how does one take a kmitza? You bend three fingers. It's a very unusual type of carbon. You slice your fingers into the flour, and you bend three fingers, you take out flour, and you offer that on the Mizbeach. So in the Askinu Sudasa of Friday night, we say that we're going, I mentioned this far to you when we learned the Aleph Beis, that Bevavin Tiskatar. With Vavin, we will... we're going to offer a sacrifice with Vavin, or we're going to beautify. You have to look at the Nusach of the Askinu Sudasa, you look it up later on, with Vavin, with Vavs, Tis, I think it's Tiskatar, we will beautify you, we will adorn you with Vavin. It also can literally mean we will, Tiskatar means we'll burn, we'll burn a sacrifice. And so what does it mean, Bevavin Tiskatar? It's a very popular art. I told this to you, we learned the letter Vav. There are three ways to spell the letter Vav. You can spell the letter Vav, Vavav, or Vav Aleph Vav, or Vav Yud Vav. Three different legitimate ways to spell out the letter Vav. I think the common way is Vav Vav. But it's in other Sarm, it's spelled these three different ways. These three different ways represent the Chazal, Yisrael, the Oiraisa, the Kudsha Brichu Chatu. There are three essentials. It's a tripod, Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah Chad, it's all one and the same. Vav, Vav, when you spell Vav, Vav, just two Vavs, what's the number? 12. What is 12? The Shiftei Ka, represents Klal Yisrael. When you spell Vav, Yud, Vav, What is that? Vav, Yud Vav, it's 22. 6 and 6 is 12 plus Yud. 22 letters of the Aleph Beis, which represents the Torah. Aleph Bina. When you spell Vav, Aleph Vav, 6 plus 1 is 13. What is 13? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So the three Vavs represent the concept of Yisrael, that's the 12. The Kudsha Brichu, that's the 13. The Raisa and the Torah is 22. Chatu, they're all interlinked. They are inseparable one from the other. So the Askinu Sudasa, Friday night, we come to Mechaber Kadosh Baruch Hu, you have a covered Shabbos, you have to have a Suda, and you have bread, and you bring on the Shulchan, you put on the Shulchan the Lechem Mishnah, and you say the Askinu Sudasa when you eat your Lechem. You say Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to adorn you, we're going to praise you with the Vavs, the three Vavs. The three Vavs, that's how a lot of the Parshat learn even Parshat Pshat. Because otherwise it's very bizarre. What does it mean? Bevavim tiskatar, what does that mean? The three Vavs spell out, it's a Kabbalistic thing anyway, it's a Zohar anyway. This thing. So anyway, you have to interpret it in a very loose interpretation. We're going to adorn you, our Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yisrael V'Rayis V'Kushim V'Kadu. But it has a much deeper meaning when you learn, this is what our Pinchas Friedman says, this is a real heavy-duty drush. Our Pinchas Friedman says it has a much heavier meaning when it comes to Friday night, because Friday night when you come to Yisud and you have the bread on the table, the bread on the table represents the mincha. It's the mincha you're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Jew comes Friday night, you have Lechem Mishnah, you eat bread, Iker Friday, you have bread, Lechem Mishnah. What do you do when you make a kmitza? You bend three fingers. The three fingers are the three vavs. The three vavs. Three left, three vavs. The vav and tiskatar. We're offering to you the kmitza. The Lechem Mishnah, when we bring on the table the bread to make, to eat the Seudah Shabbos, it's ki'ilu we're bringing to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a carbon mincha, a gift of bread. And when you bring a gift of bread, you have to make a kmitza. And when you take a kmitza, you have to bend three times. So the three fingers you're bending is the three vavim, Yisrael, V'Rayis, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chat. Okay, it's a little bit of a vart, a little drush.
And the shulchan is in the tail.
Yes, that's pashut. And the salt is, I'll call Karbon Chatakiv Melach. Have a wonderful Shabbos.